When I saw this course advertised, and as soon as I read about it, I kind of thought, I need to do this.
It is imperative for me to continue learning, because there was no way that I could, or I was going to get myself into a position where I was obsolete.
When all of the nature and animals and ecosystems that I love are under such threat, I think it's important that going forward, I'm as well equipped as I can be. I think the course really helped with that.
For people wanting to know more about how data can impact their career prospects, the University of Edinburgh offers a selection of MOOCs, massive open online courses. Two people who have completed these MOOCs and have seen huge impacts on their lives are Jack Baker and Sanjay Rakshit. I'm Kim McAllister, and the MOOCs project is one of many linked to the new hubs for the Data-Driven Innovation Programme delivered at the University of Edinburgh and Heriot-Watt as part of the City Region deal. This podcast is one of five exploring such projects. So Jack, thanks so much for chatting to me today. Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about yourself and your career to date?
Yes, so my name is Jack Baker. I currently work as a learning technologist at the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh. I also have a part-time job at Edinburgh Zoo with the Royal Zoological Society of Scotland, running education programmes there. Before all of that, I studied politics and international relations at the University of St Andrews, and then went back and did a master's in conservation. So yes, I started the course, policy course, back start of this year. And I've just submitted my last bit of coursework a few weeks ago. So there was three bits of coursework that had to be done. And yeah, just waiting on the results.
So what attracted you to this course?
I suppose, given my background, I had kind of studied politics and I'd studied conservation. And as part of those two different courses that I'd done before, obviously there'd been some overlap and there'd been some kind of discussion of these things. But one was heavily social science and one was kind of heavily more science, kind of classic, in the classic sense. So when I saw this course advertised, it was actually sent to me by one of my colleagues. And as soon as I read about it, I kind of thought, I need to do this. This is what I kind of want to do, because it combines those two interests, those two passions, puts them together, and hopefully provides kind of a useful output for me going forward that kind of has then synthesized all of this previous learning that I'd done. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the initial thought that attracted me to it. And I think especially in the world that we're in, with COP happening last year in Glasgow, felt very close to home, and all of the kind of news of the IPCC reports and all of the kind of climate change things, all of these things buzzing around in my mind, that kind of all came together and thought, this is a course, this is exactly what I want to do.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. What did you enjoy most about it?
I suppose I enjoyed the vast array of case studies. So for me, obviously going into it, my background was conservation, environmental science, but I think it was interesting to hear about different case studies from the world of healthcare or food production or whatever it is. It was amazing to learn how kind of similar it was to kind of all the issues seem to kind of overlap and similar decision-making processes go on behind the scenes. So it was interesting for me to make those connections. I also really enjoyed all of the coursework was very freeform. So it was very much, here is the question or the topic that you have to, the kind of rough piece of coursework we want you to output in the end, but you're free to choose the topic. You can kind of go away and look into something that you're really passionate about or really interested in. And as long as it fits within these kind of bounds, you can study it. So I really enjoyed that element as well, because I was able to then take the kind of learning from medicine or learning from food production, whatever it was, and apply those learnings into something that was what I was interested in. So that's the bits that I really enjoyed, I suppose.
It's always easy to learn something you're interested in, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. It was one of those things that as soon as I saw it, having worked for the RZSS, Royal Zoological Society of Scotland, I immediately was kind of like, right, how am I going to memorize this? How am I going to fully process this? And I went to pandas and I was like, I want to study giant pandas and panda reintroduction. It's not that they were overly complicated or whatever it was, but they were kind of these complex ideas, and putting them into a case study of something I was familiar with and kind of liked to learn about, of pandas, it kind of helped make the learning so much easier, actually.
That makes total sense. And so obviously data is a big part of this course. Mm-hmm. In that part of it, what was new to you and what do you feel gave you the most value?
I suppose starting from a social science background, I think a lot of the experience I'd had prior to this was very much kind of based on interview data or very qualitative data. So it was interesting here to kind of see how, while that's still relevant, there was a lot more quantitative data going on and sort of discussion of that nature. So it was really interesting to have that kind of brought into my mind. I think another element of the kind of data side of it that was new to me was pulling together how data is used and how it's kind of gathered and presented in very certain ways for certain audiences. You can't just gather all the facts and say, look, here, there's forest fires, there's this, there's that, and expect people to change. You have to present this in a very specific manner, in a very specific way to a very specific audience, and make sure everything is tailored and used properly to make it actually effective. The data by itself doesn't necessarily stand on its own. You have to really think about how it's used and how it's gathered. So I think that was a really kind of new-ish kind of interesting thing for me to kind of consider, and made me kind of stop and think a lot about things that I've done in the past and how I would maybe do things differently going forward.
Well, that's really interesting, because I totally understand what you're saying about data. It's not really worth much on its own. It's how you analyze it and then how you apply it. So you've just said it might change things going forward for you. So how can you see any way in that might happen?
This interview is happening at a very good time for me, because on Friday last week, I got confirmation that my PhD funding has gone through.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you very much. So the PhD project is all about studying how collections like the one stored at the Royal Botanic Garden in Edinburgh are used, and how that information then goes on to impact policy and outcomes. And so for me, this has been really useful in the kind of setting up a base level of case studies and examples and kind of practice almost, because going forward, I now have all of these case studies and things that I can use throughout the PhD process. Even if they're not 100% relevant to what I'm doing, they provide examples in my mind that I can reference back to. And I also think going forward, as a conservation professional, I don't know, I'm still, I'm 24 years old and I still feel strange calling myself a professional. But as a conservation professional going forward, I think it's so important. When all of the nature and animals and plants and ecosystems that I love are under such threat, I think it's important that going forward, I'm as well equipped as I can be to make real solid impacts. And obviously a lot of that comes down to policymakers and the rules that they set. So if I am the best equipped I can be to kind of go into discussions or to present information to them potentially in the future, I think that's all been worthwhile doing. And I think the course really helped with that.
It feels like this program knitted together a lot of what you already knew and then gave you a springboard for your PhD.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And because I had spent late 2021, a lot of that was spent writing up the proposal and coming up with the idea and working with people on kind of fine-tuning it and doing all these things. And obviously when I was writing it, I was coming into it with all these ideas in my mind that were kind of vaguely there. Oh, I think these two things could be attached, but actually coming into this year, starting this course and seeing all of these things in action, it proved in my mind, oh, all of these things I was trying to connect last year are actually connected, and it worked quite well in my favor. Yeah, springboarding into the PhD and setting me up in, I think, in a great way for my future kind of studies at Edinburgh. I think it's really exciting.
Sanjay, could you start by telling me a little bit more about your career to date?
Sure. I started out in 1996. Started out as a soft engineer, and then pretty much hardcore engineering those days. But then, thankfully, I got ushered into the techno-business side of things. So I've been in the last 15 years in executive roles, where pretty much the buck stopped with me in terms of products and tech. In 2017, I realized that the passion that I had was for using technology, and we were moving towards machine learning and AI. And that was an area where it was so new that reading up from the internet or doing some certificate courses wouldn't cut it, especially at the roles that I was in. So I took a break from my career, went back to university to do the master's in AI informatics full time.
So you're qualified up to the gunnels then, Sanjay?
I think when you don't have the knowledge, the degrees help.
So you've obviously spent quite a lot of time at the University of Edinburgh. What's your opinion of the university's place when it comes to data, AI, natural language processing and all these things?
A couple of things. I mean, I did my undergrad in Delhi University, but I collaborated with some of the universities in states number one, what I found is that University of Edinburgh is, you know, when it talks about giving people a chance, it does give me a chance. The goal there was not to trip up a student. It was, how can they help a student succeed? And what does a student require? The support from University of Edinburgh is excellent in terms of how they can succeed. The process is put in place. The library is second to none. So I'd say that I couldn't think of any other place that I could go and study, frankly speaking. Having studied in Delhi University, which is great, fantastic. And I thought, right, here I am. It is imperative for me to continue learning, because there was no way that I could, or I was going to get myself into a position where I was obsolete 10 years from now. And it's going to be faster even. Things were moving at pace. I was looking for ways to keep myself up to date.
That's wonderful. So am I right in thinking that you've done 3 short courses after your master's?
So XAI is, explainable AI is the next frontier. So I wanted to do that. Innovation-driven entrepreneurship, I'm with startups, and as in the kind of roles I'm in, we have to think in an entrepreneurial manner, and I've got that. I would wish to think, but I didn't have the framework. So this was always good to understand what formal research has gone in, and to be put alongside peers or classmates who also come up with some lovely ideas. So the whole idea of going back to class is not just to study, but also to learn from your cohorts. I harbor wish to join the Scottish government or the UK government going forward as a way to make a difference, to perhaps be an advisor based on the experience that I have. So I didn't know how to go about it. So I spoke to, and then there was this course, Making Science Relevant in Policymaking. So I needed to understand how policymaking worked and how, memos were created. What was that ecosystem like? And then this course was going to provide that. So if I were looking at all 3 of them, I'd say XAI is very, very new to the teachers, the professors, and the tutors, and the teaching assistants. They did their utmost to make this as current as possible, research-wise. And the assignments were designed for us to go away and do some of our own digging, which I think was great. The IDE, I thought that was an excellent course because it was a business course, which I felt was very important in this current era, because it can be technical, but just technology doesn't solve problems. The role of science in the policy making, I thought, now that course, I really, really enjoyed it, from understanding the ecosystem of a government. So you've got the advisors, you've got the decision makers, and the difference. So that was really, really good. I can't speak highly enough, especially for someone like me who didn't know anything about it, So I learned a lot, I can appreciate it, and I can read some good books and get that.
That's great to hear. I mean, data is such a huge topic, isn't it? So what do you think these short courses have given you in order to give you the edge?
These such courses are really useful because in data, both of them emphasize the need of data-driven decision-making. That also means that data now, the collection of that data has to be looked at, because it's garbage in, garbage out. So if you've not got the right information or the right data from which information can be extracted, then you really can't do anything about it. So I believe that this leads me to think is about treating data as a strategic business asset that can be leveraged. So it's not just what we can do with it, what these courses help us understand, but also what gets us there.
Thanks for listening, and remember to check out the other 4 podcasts in this series. For more information on the Data-Driven Innovation Initiative, visit ddi.ac.uk or follow @DataCapitalEd on Twitter.